Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face. I climb way
up. As the Drifters bring us back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. We had a great visit with our good friend Dave Anderson. He's forgotten more about how to train leaders than anybody else will ever know. He's written all the books on the topic, including It's Not Rocket Science, including How to Run Your Business by the Book. And the book is If You Know What I Mean, and I think you do. Dave, thanks again for being here. And we're talking about getting that second effort, that little extra push, getting people to go more than 100%, giving them to give you, really push their envelope. You know, Dave, I've done some things in my life where they were fairly complicated to learn, and I learned how to be a securities broker. That's pretty tough. For securities rep, that was pretty tough education. I learned how to fly an airplane on instruments.
Wow.
And so I'm an instrument pilot, and so I remember seeing the plate, an approach plate, the first time. Now you talk about Greek. Few things are more intimidating. Have you ever seen the board where Einstein draws his all of his formulas up on the board?
Yes,
you know, all those guys. You know, an approach plate looks like that to most people. It's, I mean, how do you don't you make no sense of it? But once you learn how to read them, it just opens right up. And so my point is, I pushed my envelope farther than I ever thought I could with that particular thing. And our employees, we can teach our employees how to do the same thing. What looks impossible to them now, with a little bit of encouragement like you teach people to do, you could open up their world.
Well, you could. And the training. You know, people say, well, I just need to go in and motivate the team. But Jim Rohn said it really well. He said, if you take an idiot and you motivate him, all you've got is a motivated idiot. I mean, you know, if somebody's on the wrong path, they don't need more motivation
right.
to get them
there
quicker. Right,
you don't need to be practicing bad habits.
So, but you're right, you know, with training without motivation, they're never going to use it.
Right.
You know, they won't use the training.
No, I'm presuming you've got a good subject in front of you.
Yeah, you know, and when you've got that, and you've given them the clarity, and you've given them the empowerment, and you've given them the encouragement and the tools, it's amazing what they can do. But then, you know, because I traveled around a lot, Jim, I'll speak about 120 times a year, and I was just in Australia holding seminars in Brisbane, and I had great visits there. But one of the guys tells me at a break, he says, you know, my people just don't seem excited about, you know, what our vision is and where mm-hmm. we're going. And you know, so they really don't go that second mile. And so I said, you know, quite frankly, if they're not excited about the vision, it may be that they're not excited about you. I mean, you have to look at yourself first. I mean, what type of leader are you? Do you empower them? You know, are you clear? Do you give them feedback? Are you trustworthy? I mean, do you keep your commitments to them? It's really hard for someone to go the second mile for somebody who tells them they're going to do something, doesn't do it, doesn't follow through, doesn't keep commitments, to someone who's not open to feedback. They're not teachable, okay? To someone who doesn't accept responsibility. All right, every time something goes wrong, you're blaming someone else or something else. And so mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time buying into that. And if I can't buy into that about you, I'm going to have a really tough time buying into where you're trying to take me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the leader always has to look at themselves. If they're not getting that extra effort, that discretion, I love the term discretionary effort. It's the effort somebody can mm-hmm. give, but they don't have to give. They can give it
they
want to. They
choose to give it to you.
Yes, they choose to give it to you. And they, in fact, I think that's a terrific way to measure your leadership. How much that do you get every day? You know, how much discretionary effort are you getting where people do more because they choose to do it of their own volition mm-hmm. than they have to do or are required to do? And if you're not getting much of it,
and it could be because they love what they do.
Yeah,
it could be because they admire you.
Right.
It could be that it would break their heart if they let you down. I've worked for people like that.
That's
haven't
right.
you?
Oh, I have.
Haven't you,
you
worked
don't
for people where
let them down.
It would break your heart if you thought you'd cut your finger off before you let them down?
That's right. That's right. And that says a lot about you. You know, that says a lot about that leader to where when you have, you know, that type of a positive impact on somebody. And so another thing is, you know, you got to surround people with good people because there's no drag on energy. there's no drag on morale, then having to work next to someone who doesn't care, you know, who's just apathetic, who's not competent, who doesn't do it the right way. And so you're always reacting. You're cleaning up their messes. You're doing damage control. You're fixing things. It's hard to even play to win when you're working with someone like that, because you're always trying just not to lose any more ground. And so, you know, surrounding people with good people, and I've had small business people tell me, well, you know, I don't really need a lot of training and how to hire people because we have a small team. I said, hey,
that's a fool.
You have a small team.
That's
You've got no margin.
That man's a fool.
He's a fool. Says you have no margin for error a small team. I mean, if you have 100 people, okay, and you have a couple bad ones, the other 98 will perfume the stench of that mediocrity,
right? That's
right. But if you have 4 people and you have one of them that's not doing what they're supposed to, you've got a huge percentage.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. No, there's no question about that. And I've seen that so much, so many times, where the organization would have the. And in fact, I've seen organizations that we're high functioning, and somebody was brought on, brought from out of the organization to have some control, and they were not the right kind of person, and the organization just went in the tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Happy lives became unhappy lives.
And it doesn't take 6 of those people. I mean, it just takes one. There's just not a lot of margin for error there. And so there's so much, you know, so does the culture attract and support the right type of people? Is the leader the right type of
person? When you hire someone new in your small business, you got to make sure that they're going to contribute to the culture, not detract from it.
You cannot diminish
the power and the importance and the impact of the culture. We come back. I want to talk about selfishness. I'm gonna bring up the concept of selfishness that might be holding you back on this. And that's, we'll do that with Dave Anderson right after this break. 20, no, 10 tails. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.